everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Ed Alexander. Ed and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this very hot day indeed, midweek Wednesday, June 17th, 2015. I'm not one to follow NBA basketball, but I certainly got into this final series. And congratulations to Steve Kerr and the folks with the U of A connections. It looks like he's got a great group of ball players there, that not just about stars, but about putting together a team. And what a team they are. So congratulations to the Golden State Warriors. We are coming to you live from Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We live stream our show at my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Podcasts and our complete show archive available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. As usual, we have put together a full hour of content for you, beginning with our interview with Tucson City Councilman Richard Fimbres. Mr. Fimbres is the vice mayor also for the city of Tucson. He is a Ward 5 Democrat. At about 12:30 or so, David Safir joins us. David blogs about education for the Tucson Weekly. We'll be talking about that new contract for H.T. Sanchez, and judging by some of the letters to the editor that have been appearing over the last couple of days, people are not very happy about the contract pay raise for H.T., but we'll talk about that with David Safir. The live line number is 790-2040. And our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. We're going to go right to the live line and Councilman Vice Mayor Richard Fimbres. Richard, how are you today?
Good afternoon, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Thanks for being with us.
Are you all rested now from your great trip to Hawaii?
Yeah, pretty much. So come back to this really hot weather. But together, we will get through this, won't we?
Yeah, just stay in, drink lots of water.
That's it. I want to begin with the deadline being extended for the Postal Service, the survey that was being or is being done, that deadline to participate in a survey that seeks input about Southern Arizona's experiences using the U.S. Postal Service has been extended to the end of the month. Vice Mayor Fimbres, you've been leading the charge on this. What have the responses been like? Kind of, what's the volume been like, and what are they, some of them saying?
Well, Bill, thank you for your help, too, on this and getting the word out. But we decided to, after the Postal Service came out and said that we were put on the to-be-determined list, that gave us some time, and I know Congressman Grijalva is asking what to define to be determined, and what does it mean, when in 2016 will they start reviewing this again. But we've had a great list of responses. We're at 1,500 right now. We're ending at the end of June. We're going to compile all the responses and present those, and then we want to do is the mayor and I will present those to our congressional delegation and hopefully to the Postmaster General. A lot of the responses coming back say mail delivery has been significantly delayed in the region. Many people reported experience doubled the number of days in postal delays from 2 to 3 days to now 5 to 7. We are hearing of delays from veterans and seniors who rely on the Postal Service for the timely delivery of their medications and Medicare checks. We are also hearing from the businesses whose payrolls and sales services have been disrupted due to the inconsistent delivery schedule. These disruptions, along with the loss of businesses, nonprofits, discounts for mailers, costs local businesses greatly in their operations and national competitiveness. Like I said, we'll compile all these services after June 30th, and then we will present those to our members of Congress. And I know that Jonathan is going up in July to talk about DM. So I'm hoping that he'll also schedule a meeting with the postmaster and see what we can do with this and see where we lie.
All right, 790-2040. John would like to join in the conversation about the Cherry Bell facility. Go ahead, John.
Yes, Councilman Fimbres, first, thank you for all your hard work on this issue. When Jonathan Rothschild was on this program, he basically said that pressure needs to be put on not only the public officials, but also the bureaucracy of the postal office. if citizens wanted to get involved in putting some pressure on that bureaucracy, who would they address their concerns to? Would it be the Postmaster General, or are there other people slash
yes,
in the post office to address?
Thank you, John, for your comments. It is the Postmaster General, and also send them to our national elected officials, particularly Senator McCain, Senator Flake, and then we've been getting great response. This is a nonpartisan issue. It's about economic development, not only for southern Arizona and for Pima County, but for the whole state. And Representatives Grijalva, McSally, Kirkpatrick, Sinema, Franks, and Gallegos have all come to bat, and now Matt Salmon is also coming to weigh in on this. So, and then I know that State Senator Andrea D'Alessandro has had a good conversations with Congressman Paul Gosar's office. So hopefully he'll come on board also. So these are things that are happening. I know that we've talked to the governor, Southern Arizona Representative Juan Ciscomani, on this issue to get the governor to weigh in and also on this hard issue.
Well, I've never understood this issue. I understand certainly the ramifications. I've never understood the post office thinking about this. I understand this is part of like a nationwide, there's 80 different cities that are impacted, but come on, we're talking about a place with a million people in the valley. This is not some backwater. I just do not understand how the Postal Service could figure that all the mail from Tucson, Arizona has to go up to Phoenix and then get a postmark up there and then come back. I don't get it.
I agree with you, Bill. There's 82 different postal centers that are destined to be closed. I think Arizona is the only one that will be left with one Postal Service distribution center in Maricopa, which doesn't make sense. We're one of the still fastest-growing states in the country, and it doesn't make sense for economic development. And nobody can tell me or us what the formula was that they used to determine that Arizona would have one postal distribution center. It doesn't make sense, like you said. And then the studies that they've done, like, for instance, in Buffalo, that was destined to close, and they did a study, and they've held off on closing it for another 2 years. Hmm. And we have not had one study done here in southern Arizona. So these are questions that I know that our congressional delegation are also asking the postmaster. We have a new Postmaster General, Margaret Brenham, and I'm hoping that she will review the closures of these sites.
Okay, so there's still time
yes.
until June 30th
yes.
To contact your
yeah,
national.
You can go to www.tucsonaz.gov, announcements, and then hit Postal Opinion Survey online. There's a business survey and a community survey, and it's in Espanol also. So people can get there. Let us know how they're being impacted.
Okay, I want to quickly change topics here. The downtown park where there's been the homeless people have been coming and going. It's kind of a vicious circle, a couple steps forward, three steps back. Tim Steller articulates it very well in today's Arizona Daily Star about what's going on down there. This is your district downtown.
Yes, sir. It's Ward 5, and there's two neighborhood associations that we've been in contact with. They were very upset that they chose this shelter to allow for them, but they accepted it to a point. It was a temporary decision. I know that the city staff, talking to Martha Durkin and our city manager, that they're coming up was looking at solutions. I know that the some folks are upset that they were allowed the shelter to time frame to lapse, but I know that Pastor Ferrari is also looking at some solutions. You know, Bill, the city spends about $10 million in federal and city funds to provide shelters to the homeless. In terms of shelter space of or high demand currently, the city has about 200 public housing vouchers, and there are 130 available right now. There are 450 housing vouchers and 162 available. There are overseen by programs such as Primavera, the VA, and Esperanza, to just name three. Low-demand shelters, though, are still limited presently. Most cities our size have the situations of a need for low-demand shelters. These are facilities that will accept some people without rules about sobriety and mental health screening. And that's what some of the concerns have been about the neighborhoods. They allow them to come in and sleep at night, but the folks don't wander away, and they've been over at the recreational facility. They've been in the park. Some of them have been disorderly. There's been trash and body waste, human waste left, and it's been tough. So I've held a couple meetings. I met with the city manager. I'm meeting with a group this afternoon to talk about this, and I'm meeting with the pastor, Ferrari, to see if we can come up with some solution that is a short-term fix, but we need a long-term solution. And I know that there's a couple things coming to mayor and council at the next council meeting to discuss.
Well, so it's really a question of, I mean, we have shelters, but we don't really have the ones that are kind of the no questions asked facilities where somebody could come in for the night, get the short term. Is that because there are legal issues, or why is that?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to figure that out and ask people, but most shelters do have rules. You got to be sober. You can't be selling, pushing drugs or be on drugs. And there's some health issues also that they are concerned about. And then there's some folks, because of the heat, are just accepting folks to come in right now. And that's the other thing. Because of the heat, my concern is risen to make sure that these guys aren't out there. We've already seen that there was one fatality already out at the 20 de Agosto Park. And that's why we've had to take steps.
Well, it certainly is a work in progress, and we're going to take our first break right here. Councilman Richard Fimbrace, he is also the vice mayor for the city of Tucson, is with us, 790-2040. If you would like to join in the conversation, please do so. We'll be right back on the midweek edition of Buckmaster.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We go sailing away. It's a great day to kind of daydream, isn't it, about being out on San Diego Bay when it's so hot here in Tucson. Richard Fimbres is with us, Councilman Fimbres, Ward 5 Democrat, Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson. I was just looking at this best place to retire list, which came out and was very favorable to Tucson, Arizona. This was in USA Today, I think, just last week, actually. And coming in number one was Phoenix metro area, including Mesa and Scottsdale. Then there was Arlington, Virginia, Prescott, Arizona. And guess what? Tucson came in number four as the best place to retire. And, you know, Councilman, I think when people look at a place to retire or whether they think about moving a business here, a couple of things come to mind. Do they have enough police officers? How about the fire department, and how about the roads? And the city, you and your colleagues, just passed a new budget. What was done in there to address those three areas?
Well, the the good citizens of Tucson 2 years ago voted on Proposition 409, which gives us additional money from bonds to help us with our street repair. And so that's been happening, and then with the savings we've had, because of the economic downturn, construction costs have been low and gas has been low, we've been able to increase those number of roads and streets that we've been working on. So that's been positive. Police, you know, they have the drop program, which means that once they get into that 5 years, they have to leave the department. And so that is, we're losing the officers because they're in the drop program, and that's been an impact. It's all same thing with fire. So we've been working on taking steps to do those things. We went through the worst economic recession since the Great Depression. And plus, the city has had to deal with situations brought on by actions by the state legislature and court cases stemming from those actions. For example, the public safety retirement pension to the tune of an additional $18 million. The state legislator made changes to the pension system, and we were sued and lost on that issue. The pending court decision had the city have us dealing with this, so we've been able to break that $18 million down into 3 years payments. So that's $6.7 million that impacted our budget. In another legislative action, the cities are paying the Arizona Department of Revenue to update their software system and had their rights to collect their own sales tax revenues taken away through TPT, the Transition Privilege Tax, to the tune of another $2 million. The city's manager's office presented a spending plan to provide the services for police, fire, parks, and transportation, and the city's four core services. I made the motion to approve the fiscal year 2016 budget without using the stabilization funds, and that if staff needs to use these funds, they must present to the mayor and council spending cuts as well. And my colleagues on the council approved it by a vote of 6-1. So we're trying to make the inroads, but I'll tell you honestly, Bill, I have not seen a good budget since I've been on the council. You know, I started out with a $33.5 million budget deficit that went to a $44 million budget deficit, to went to a $55 million budget deficit, and then we got it down to $20 million. And then this year we were looking at hopefully making some more inroads, but then we have the stuff come down. So we got challenges, but I think the mayor and council are committed to ensuring core services are provided, and that I think we've done a good job.
You know, every time I see one of our black and white police cars around town, I think about, you got to maintain those vehicles, and I understand the fleet is really aging, the police fleet.
It is, and we've exchanged police vehicles and fire vehicles. And we just, in our budget, allowed for a CNG vehicle to be purchased for waste management. So we're doing what we can. Some of the forecasters from the university and folks say we're not going to get out of this thing until about 2017, 2018. So there is a light at the end of the tunnel, but we're not there yet. We're trying to find ways. The only thing good about this recession is it's made us think outside the box and look at what we're doing and how can we do it better. You know, like when I first got on, we had ordinances on the council that said you could not wrap more than 15 buses. Well, we have a fleet of 300 buses. So we're not going to wrap all 300 of them, but we could do more than 15. And we went from a $92,000 coming in from there to over $500,000 coming in there. I think we had discussed about the P-card process. That was at about $80,000. We're at about $700,000 on rebates coming back from the P-card. And then I just proposed changing the RFP process for the impoundment lot on the abandoned vehicles so that the towing companies don't get 100% profit. Now that percentage goes back to the police department or to our city, and I wanted to put that right into the cost for public safety as a form of cost recovery. So we're working on this, and I know that we're not there yet, but we're headed in the right direction.
How about the county and the city? Did you all get together over this feud? Who pays for what for the animal care services? Has that been settled?
It's coming back to us at our next council meeting, but I think that we have come up to an agreement. Our friends over there at are willing to waive the past administrative costs, but they're still going to hit us with administrative costs for the future. But that's we can deal with that down the road here. But I think we have come to it. Everybody loves pets.
Yeah,
you got to take care of them, and you don't want them out there right now. And then I understand, come 4th of July, you're probably going to see the animal shelters swell because dogs will run away when the fireworks happen. And so those are things that we have to be cognizant of and continue to work on. I held a immunization clinic in my ward about 4 weeks ago, and Bill, we had over 300 shots given. They were expecting 100 dogs to give immunizations to, and we exceeded that by 200. And
wow.
I'm asking them now to do a spay and neuter clinic in my ward because there's lots of dogs out there that folks can't right now pay for the licensing or the neutering or the spaying of their animals. So we have to step up and find other ways to do that.
I only have a couple of minutes left, and I know the city golf that was farmed out to a company up in Scottsdale to handle some of our golf courses. The fiscal year is coming to a close. Have you heard anything about how they did, that company?
Well, the opinions of the golfers is the OB has really improved the services at our golf courses. What I'm looking at is when the report gets in is how much financially have they been able to save us. Because, as you know, we were losing money with the golf. So we're going to have to look at that because we're running out of selling property to manage our budget. So those are things that we're going to have to look at. But there's lots of positive comments on the services provided by our golf. And we've been working with, and I know that our staff have been working with DM to talk about their golf course and if there's something we can do together. To limit the number of the cost for both of us.
All right. So getting back to our topic that we began this conversation, again, that extension till June 30th for folks who would like to weigh in on this whole post office processing center proposed move, again, they should contact whom?
They can go to www.tucsonaz.gov. Announcement, Postal Opinion Surveys Online.
Okay, and your news.
And if they don't have a computer, they can send a note, and send it to the Ward 5 Council office, and we'll make sure it's added.
So nothing's going to get done for at least a year. Is that the bottom
yes,
line?
We got a year to continue to educate the folks in the Postal Center that this is a very important center and distribution center, not only for us, but for the veterans, our seniors, and for the two tribes and the 26,000 small businesses that it's going to directly affect.
Okay, Councilman Richard Fimbres, Vice Mayor, City of Tucson. Try to stay cool out there. Thank you very much.
Oh, I forgot to congratulate you, Bill. I understand you were inducted into the Arizona Broadcasters Hall of Fame.
Well, thank you very much.
So I have to call you Sir Bill Buckmaster now?
Well, you can just call me a friend. That is. Thank you very much, Councilman. Have
take
a great
care,
afternoon.
Friend.
Thanks
okay,
a lot. Bye-bye. Richard Fimbres with us on the Buckmaster Show as we push toward exactly 12:30 on this very hot June day in Tucson. But we've got some cool music, bump music, to take us up to the break right here. Be right back.
Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Thursday for a newsmaker interview with Pima County Supervisor Allie Miller. Plus, we'll meet Tucson City Council hopeful Kelly Lawton. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Also, anywhere in the world, live streaming, podcasts, and our show archive on my website, and that's buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We are live streaming at KVOI.com and BuckmasterShow.com, so you can listen to our program anytime, anywhere, at least anytime, being on my website. We've got all of our podcasts. once a month here, we bring in David Safir. David blogs about education for the Tucson Weekly at TucsonWeekly.com. He also writes, he has a column in the Northwest Explorer. David, how are you?
I'm doing well. And Bill, I have to say, this is the first time I've had a chance to sit next to a Hall of Famer. So I know this is old news, but I got to chime into and congratulate you. That's just great.
Well, yeah, it's really exciting news. Now, do I get some kind of a big ring like the ball players have, these big, huge Hall of Fame?
Yeah, right? Well, you'll have to see. You'll have to negotiate that one.
Yeah, anyway, that's thank you for
There's a jewelry store in town.
Okay. Thanks for the kind words. H.T. Sanchez has accepted a contract extension. We had asked him a couple of times here on the show, would he take it? And he said, yes, he would. And continuity is kind of at the heart of all this. It would give, if he stays for the full term, we're talking 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the district has not had that in a long time.
It hasn't had more than a couple years for a long time, like more than a dozen years, I think. And mm-hmm. This has been a real toughie. And anybody who reads what I write on The Range will know that I had to go through successive mea culpas about his salary and eventually said, I really don't like his salary, but I like the guy. I like the majority of the board. I like that he's sticking around. But like everybody else, this man is not perfect. And I think that there was a bad decision made about the nature of the salary, but not about him sticking around, which I think is a good, positive thing for TUSD.
And judging by the comments, not only on the blog sites, but the letters to the editor in the Arizona Daily Star, I think there were at least two today. Every day there's been comments that people not happy about this. So again, David Safir, we are dealing with another TUSD perception issue.
We are. And I think calling it a perception issue is very, very, very important. It is a money issue.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided to look up the TUSD budget this morning. Now, Sanchez's salary is going to top $300,000 a year. That's a large chunk of change. I think it's too much for the state of education finances in this state. But I looked it up, and the budget, if I had this right, for TUSD for a year is $375 million. Now, if Sanchez took no salary at all, it wouldn't move the needle a bit. Nobody would get any more money anywhere, $300,000 out of $375 million. So anybody who says he's taking this money that should go to the teachers, well—
And that's been one of the arguments.
There are 3,000 teachers. There's one Sanchez. I think there are 4,000 classified workers, so I'm not sure I have that right. So we're talking 6,000 to 7,000 people. You divide $300,000 six or 7,000 ways, you know, you don't get much.
10 cents.
But here's the deal.
Yeah.
Everybody in TUSD is hurting. Everybody in Arizona education who's working there is hurting, with the exception of some administrators and especially some superintendents. And I think it is arrogant, and I think it shows a sense of entitlement to say, I'm worth it. You may be worth more, but I'm worth it, and I'm going to take it. And I had a very healthy comments section on this when I first wrote, kind of in not quite support of the salary, but I said, it's no big deal. Mm-hmm. And somebody pointed out the other superintendent in Arizona that has a large district, which is Mesa.
Right, Mesa.
For the last 2 years, he said, you know, I'm not going to take a salary raise.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that because I can't do that based on what's going on in Arizona. Well, that is a really good thing to do and sends a good message to his entire staff and to the city. He's well compensated, by the way. It's not like he's making pennies. He's making, I don't know, 260, 80, something like thousand. But Sanchez could have done that, or even could have said, this is too much. Mm-hmm. But he took a really big leap, and it doesn't feel good, and it plays into people's perception that I think is true, that he has a very lofty self-image, he has a very large ego, and that he's not able to kind of put things in perspective because of that. And that's one of my major problems with Sanchez, for all the fact that I think he's doing a good job.
What are the percentage increases? Do you have any idea?
Oh,
what
it
this
was
one
in
was?
The Sunday.
It's
editorial.
It was double digits, right?
It was like 20% or something like that, or maybe even more. And I'm sorry, the teachers, he was the one who engineered about a $500 raise for the teachers. He engineered a raise for the classified staff. They haven't had a raise for years. He engineered bringing down class sizes. Those are all good things. But in the face of those small changes that he was able to make to say somehow I'm getting 20%+ raise and I'm worth it, what does worth it mean? The only thing you're doing is comparing him to other superintendents. There's no set worth. And, you know, if you're making over $250,000, you can't really worry about somebody not being able to meet their bills. You know, it's tough. I really have problems. And I hate knocking the guy, and I hate knocking him on the air and in the blog, but you got to do it. You got to do it. Oh, yeah, you just brought up the editorial. It says a 24%
raise. 24% raise. That does seem a little much.
Ouch.
Yeah. Just, again, public relations point of view,
one of the things
bad.
I constantly complain about is TUSD gets unwanted and unneeded and unwarranted bad press. And here's something that's just low-hanging fruit, bad press, that is deserved, that's directed right at Superintendent Sanchez. And it's not smart, and it's arrogant. And I'm trying to couch this in saying it's not that much in terms of the budget. I'm trying to couch in terms of saying that I think generally he's moving the district in a positive direction, but no, I can't abide that.
790-2040, if you think Dr. Sanchez deserves a 24% raise, love to hear from you. Or if you're not in favor of it, love to hear that way as well. Now, the vote on this was very interesting. Michael Hicks said no right off, not going to go for it. But Mark Stegeman, Dr. Stegeman, often a critic of the other board members' decisions, decided he would not vote in this. He abstained.
Right, and to put that in numbers, there are five board members. The majority has to be three, so it's going to be 3-2. So Hicks' vote didn't matter if the other three were going to vote yes, or nor did Stegeman's. But Stegeman said, according to the article I read, and I haven't talked to him, is that he just doesn't want to go out on another superintendent search right now. So he kind of threw up his hands and said, the amount of money is too much, but I got to take it, but I've got to register, in a sense, my protest by abstaining. Which I thought, by the way, had one interesting wrinkle to it, and that is, for all the fact he's a strong critic of Sanchez, he's also said some positive things, saying he's done some fairly good stuff. And that means he's not saying, this guy has got to go. And there are plenty of people out there who are saying this guy has got to go. There are some people who are just incredible critics of Sanchez. And I must admit that I think one of the reasons I went out a little bit wrong in excusing this salary hike is I was being reflexive. I knew they were going to use it, and I wanted to say calm down. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, I went too far on the other side, because I'm protective and defensive of them, but on the other hand, I lost sleep. Bill, between the time I wrote the second and the third one, just thinking, I got this wrong. I got to correct this tomorrow morning. It just really bothered me. I want to be an honest broker and a critic in the best sense of the term of things that are going right or wrong.
Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Our friend Jim Kelly would like to weigh in on this. Jim, what do you think?
Well, first off, it's not a criticism of Dr. Sanchez. I like the guy. I will say this. I lean in the direction of Dr. Stegeman on this, in that it's still cheaper than having to go out and find another one. It's still better for the continuity of the district, of the administration. Maybe, just maybe, we might be able to get some other things, other issues solved because we've kept continuity as opposed to chaos. So what I think we bought was some calm. We bought a steady oar for the boat, as opposed to saying this oar is too expensive and throwing it back into the water while we're still looking for another oar. Mm-hmm. So again, I'm not against it, but the perception stinks. But TUSD has a lot of other things to do at that board level to calm down the perception problems it has. And I think Dr. Sanchez is still the best ore we've got, and he's worth it, in my opinion. But that's okay. My two cents.
Well, I tend to agree with you, Jim, and I do think he's worth sticking around. I always have trouble with inflated CEO salaries and the income inequality that's going on, and this is income inequality writ small. It's not the same thing as happening with these people who are making hundreds of millions of dollars. But still, the question of what worth it means, I think it's worth it to keep him. I think it should have been at a more reasonable level.
And it really does play into that whole argument that TUSD is top-heavy with high-paid administrators.
That's the other part of it. And in fact, TUSD, well, I should say that Arizona administration is percentage-wise the lowest in the country. TUSD is slightly higher than that, but TUSD has a desegregation order that demands a higher level of administration. So either way, I don't know. Either way, in terms of administration, it may be that he could cut a few people here and there, but again, that's not the major issue. The major issue, I'm a high school teacher. I taught for 33 years, and it's about where the rubber meets the road. It's about the classroom, the teacher, those eyeballs and those mouths going back and forth, talking and relating and things like that. And it's not about the administration. We tend to focus on that much too much. If they do something wrong, that's terrible. If they do something right, that's wonderful. But if they're just maintaining the ship, then it's all about what's going on in that classroom.
All right, let's take a break here on the Buckmaster Show, and we'll be back with David Zephyr, 790-2040, talking education. We'd love to hear from you to join in our conversation on Buckmaster on Wednesday. Back right after this.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Silver City, where it's very cool compared to Tucson. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, a lovely area in the southwest portion of New Mexico, and they've got the elevation going for them. And this time of year, when you get up to about 6,000 to 7,000 feet, that is a good place to be in the middle of June. You can find out about the many things to do, like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, exploring the world-famous Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, and just kind of hanging out in historic downtown Silver City with its galleries, antique stores, museums, and restaurants at southwestnewmexico.org. They have the full listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, like Bear Creek Cabins. We are joined again now for a second segment with David Safir, who blogs on the Range column at TucsonWeekly.com. He also writes for the Northwest Explorer, and he has a piece that will be hitting doorsteps very soon from the Explorer concerning Doug Ducey, Governor Ducey's suggestion to get $300 million from State Lands Trust and then turning those profits back to the classroom.
Yeah, it's a big one. The short story here, because it's a long story, but the short story is it's a good thing to do, but it's not nearly enough, and it doesn't show any decisive leadership. You used the figure already. It's $300 million, right? And it's from a, I think, $5 billion pile of money that's been piling up from this land trust. Mm-hmm. And that's supposed to go for education. So he's just pulling a little bit of that off the top. We can afford it. So mm-hmm. far as I can tell, everybody is saying it's not going to hurt the trust. But $300 million, and in the last segment, Bill, I said that the entire budget for TUSD is $375 million. Mm-hmm. So that puts that in a bit of context. It's not that much money if it's not more than TUSD alone spends of all the districts in the state. So in this column I just wrote, I started laying out numbers. The number from the census just put out all kinds of education numbers, and they're phenomenally complex. They're also fairly reliable. And they said Arizona spends $7,200 per student, which makes it the third lowest in the country, ranking there with Colorado and Iowa and Utah. So we add $300 million to the $7,200, we get all the way up to $7,500. We're still below $8,000. The four of us are the only states below $8,000. Some spend $15,000 per student. About half spend over $10,000 or more per student. So what Ducey did, for all the fact that everybody in the educational community is saying, I'm glad to get this money, doesn't even move the needle and doesn't really address the problem. And the problem, according to me, is our tax system is totally out of kilter. It doesn't take care of our expenses, and it's set up so that businesses and people who are wealthy are getting breaks that the poor people in the middle class aren't getting, so that a larger percentage of money of lower and middle class people is being spent on taxes than being spent at the top. And it's just an imbalance that's wrong. And that's why I can't give Ducey too much credit for this little kind of not terribly gutsy move he made.
Well, there's still this matter dealing with the money that is supposed to go back to education, the suit that is out there. I don't know how many million we're talking about.
Well,
there.
Here's the interesting thing. That's about $330 million. Yeah. So by bringing this money in, he hasn't quite replaced the money that the court says the state owes to schools by law. So he says it's not a replacement, but I haven't heard him out there on a bully pulpit advocating for getting that money, because if you're not going to raise taxes, and we're a no new taxes governor, if you're not going to raise taxes, where are you going to get the money? That's a legitimate question. But taxes aren't a zero-sum game, and that's the way it's treated in this state by the conservative elements who run this state, and it's just not true.
And we are still a couple of years away from even that. Even if everyone in the state said yes to this, it would be a while before that money made it to the classroom for the state trust land, which has to be voted on. People have to agree to selling off some of that money.
And that would be in 2016.
Yeah.
And for that to happen, the legislature has got to vote for it. So there's a bunch of little pieces in there. And if it's voted for in 2016, it probably won't come in till the 2017-2018 school year. Maybe it'll kick in the middle of the year. I don't know. But it does nothing for right now. Nothing.
There were two court cases, David, that I wanted you to address, charter schools and early English learners. That early English learners, known as ELL, that's been around forever.
Oh, yeah. There's an old
20 years.
Old case, 2028, something like that. The young girl who was the name in the case is through college. You know, it's been that long. Well, what the court decided, and it's a little bit more complicated than this, is basically we're not going to get our hands in this. Yeah, it may be a little bit inequitable. Yeah, it may be that these kids don't get enough curricular education while they're getting the language education, but it doesn't raise to the level of a legal problem. And of course, the people who pushed the suit don't agree, but that's what the court said. So the court at this moment is keeping its hands out of this issue. And there's so many other issues around ELL. I think one of them, actually, once again, I'm going to say something fairly nice about Diane Douglas. She and the Department of Education is kind of sort of working together with the federal government to get a better situation for what I think is a bad situation for ELL students. So it's easier for them to get out of the 4 hours where they're in straight English immersion, no curriculum, that I think is harmful to them, and ways for them to get out of that situation a little bit earlier. So that's separate from the case, but it's important, and I hope it happens. And if it does, I will once again pat Superintendent Douglas on the back.
Charter schools was the other court case.
Right. The Charter School Association, the private nonprofit group that kind of looks over and supports and advocates for charter schools, they put together a lawsuit saying, hey, we're not getting as much money as the public schools, the district schools. Well, it's true they're not, because they also don't have bus transportation, they don't have food services often, and any number of reasons. But again, the court said, well, you may have a point, doesn't acknowledge they do have a point. You may have a point, but again, it doesn't raise to the level of legal problems. And one thing they said, and this is kind of interesting, is anyone forced to go to that charter school? Can they leave anytime they want if they're aggrieved and say there isn't enough money? And the answer obviously is yes. Any public school will take that child. So they say, well, you're not really an aggrieved party because nobody is holding you for ransom or holding you prisoner in the charter school. So they basically took themselves out of the issue. And by the way, I'm not convinced that charter schools get less money where it matters most for that average kid in the average desk in the average classroom. The amount of money that's spent on that kid for education, for teachers, for aides, for technology, I think that it's pretty close to the same no matter what school you're in Arizona, give or take, obviously. But I don't think there's a significant difference. And the charter school advocates would disagree with me. But man, I've tried to look at the numbers. I've read every one of the explanations, and it's tough to parse, but I don't think there is a significant difference.
All right, David Sefier, we can read about your work in the Northwest Explorer. Your column comes out when there? Once a month?
It is in once a month, yes, the third Wednesday. And if you go to the Explorer website and you go to the opinion section, it's there. I think right now it's featured on the front page, too, so you could click on it with my shining face there. And if you are up in the area that's covered by the Explorer, Marana, Oro Valley, the foothills, it should be dropped on your doorstep, or you can pick it up at a kiosk.
And then Tucson TucsonWeekly.com?
TucsonWeekly.com, and you can either find the range or over on the right-hand column, they usually list some of the columns, the most recent posts on the range, so you can go there too. And there's lots of interesting stuff for people who are interested in the cultural stuff. There's a lot of cultural stuff for people who love pictures of sad dogs and cats. There's pictures of sad dogs and cats. Oh, those break my heart, Bill. But anyway, there's lots of stuff to be looked at, and I think my post attract a lot of comments because a lot
they
of
always
people
do.
Either like or dislike them.
All right. David Safir, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again in July.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. David Safir with us on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up this afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw, and then Wake Up Tucson. Chris and Joe will do it from 6 to 8 tomorrow morning, and then Christy Simone with his Daily Double and a guest host every day from 8 to 9. I'm Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander. We wish you a great afternoon and evening. Till then, have a great day. Bye-bye.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.